This podcast was recorded on the lands of the Boon Wurrung people of the Kulin Nation, the land on which we're lucky enough to raise our sons and daughters. Always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Hello and welcome to Tits and Tricks, Ready or Not's bite-sized base podcast that gives you practical, short and sharp suggestions that will help you nail motherhood and career one tip at a time. I'm Loz and today I'm talking about the types of childcare and figuring out what type and maybe it's a combination of a couple that will work best for your family. As we come up to October, this is always a time of year that I personally find ties in with childcare and kindergarten placements for next year. So given we're a matter of weeks away, if you haven't already done it, now is a time to really think about childcare for next year, or maybe it's the right time to reassess if you're satisfied with your current childcare provider or if it's time to switch things up. We have created an entire guide on the topic of childcare with all of the questions that we had when we started the process around wait lists, what to look for in a centre, choosing the right centre for you, what age to start childcare, understanding the rebate, and so much more. You can get this from readyornot.au. I'm going to focus on what to look for in childcare in terms of finding an arrangement that works for you, whether that be a daycare centre, a nanny, family help, or perhaps you're going down the route of an au pair. I'll chat through it all at a really high level and give you some of my personal experience as to what has helped our family. Starting off with childcare solutions, there is a bunch of different childcare options. Number one is daycare centres. The pros, they're structured environments, you get socialisation with other children, and they often have educational-based programs. The cons are that there is, in some regards, less flexibility. For example, if your child gets sick, you still have to pay. There's a potential for higher costs. Depending on how many children you have, nannies or babysitters, and the rebate that you get, I should say, nannies, babysitters, or au pairs slash subsidising that with family help can work out to be cheaper. And there is a saying that says, obviously, with more children in daycare, you have less limited individual attention. I mean, it goes without saying, if you've got a babysitter with one kid, you've got one-on-one. At a childcare centre, you've got 1-4 ratio. So slightly different there. Considerations. So what to look for in childcare? Licensing, accreditation, where they are at the national standards, staff to child ratios, cleanliness, that's a big one for me, and curriculum. So what is it? Their style of learning. Is it, do they follow a more structured style? Is it more play-based? What are they doing that you think may work for your child? Number two, nannies. Pros, personalized care. You've got flexibility with schedule, you can pick your hours, and you get one-on-one attention. Cons, higher cost in comparison to daycare, contracts, and they do require a background check. Considerations, check their references, look at their experience, look at their background. You can also discuss specific needs and expectations in a really detailed manner with them. Number three, babysitters. Pros, ideal for occasional needs such as date nights, emergencies, ad hoc if your kid gets sick, excellent backup plan. Cons, less consistent care and may not be suitable for regular or full-time needs. Considerations, use trusted sources for recommendations. So who do your friends suggest? Is there a reputable agency in the area that you could go through? And obviously one of the big things for me is to ensure that you've got a babysitter that's reliable and has relevant experience. Number four, family or friends. Pros, often cost-effective. It is by far cheaper in most instances to have family or friends look after your children. And obviously these people are familiar with your child's needs and the way that your family operates. Cons, they definitely don't have professional daycare training. And if they are anything like my dad, they will go rogue and will probably do everything that you would not like them to do. For example, they might eat ice cream for breakfast. They might go down the street with mismatched shoes, their hair in a bun, and you might come home to Play-Doh and slime all over your surfaces. I'm not saying that that happens with me. My daddy's wonderful, but you do have to loosen the reins a bit if you're getting a significantly reduced fee, essentially, on childcare by your family members. Considerations. Clearly communicate what your expectations and boundaries are to maintain a good relationship. Free or heavily reduced cost of care is very appealing, but it also can be a point of contention if it's not meeting the way that you want it done. Number five, au pairs. Pros, living arrangement that provides flexibility and there's an element of cultural exchange. Believe it or not, au pairs are also very reasonably priced. My understanding is it's around, well, it was when I checked a while ago, around $350 per week for a set amount of hours. But of course, they are living in your house and the expectation is that they're not paying for bills or food or anything that enables them to live and be hygienic within your place of residence. So it's something to factor in. The cons, in my opinion, are that they are also living in your house. So you do need to have a house or accommodation or some form of dwelling that allows an au pair to have their own space, own room, and own bathroom. So this particular aspect can be very difficult if you're living in a reasonably small space. Considerations, you do need to ensure compliance with visa and employment regulations and choose an au pair with relevant experience and references. If you've got someone living in your house, I would say that you would want to be overly diligent with all things about them. Okay, now let's look at what questions to ask for each of these care arrangements and how to find the right person, place, arrangement that works for you. Daycare, visit multiple centres. Tour the facilities, observe the environment, look at the way that staff interact with each other, look at the cleanliness of the place. Are the kids happy? Are there a lot of boogery, snotty-nosed kids at the door wanting to get out? That is a red flag, my friend. What is the vibe that you get from the center and the center director? I could harp on about this for ages, but sometimes I think to myself, you know your child best, and if you get bad juju from walking into a center, there's a reason. Trust your gut. It does not matter if they are exceeding the standards. The staff are lovely. The place is spotless. The kids are beaming with happiness. If something feels off and you do not feel like your child is going to thrive in that environment, that is enough to be like, it's not the right place for us. Ask questions. So inquire about the curriculum, inquire about staff qualifications, ask about emergency procedures or ask about safety protocols. And my biggest thing is ask about staff tenure. How long have people stayed there for? Are there people that have been there for decades and absolutely love it? I mean, it's unlikely in this day and age that people are going to be there for ages. If the average staff turnover is under a year, it has to raise a question from you as to why. Like maybe there's been a legitimate change in management and that's why, okay, understandable. But I would scratch beneath the surface to see what's going on. Make sure you evaluate your staff to child ratio. So ensure that the center has appropriate staff to child ratios for individualized attention and safety. Most should. I mean, legally, they have to. Consider their location and hours. So proximity is a huge one. Choose a location that is convenient for your commute. So whether it's close to home or whether it's close to work, the further away it is just going to make your life so much harder in terms of getting to work on time. And if your child is sick, having to pick them up in peak hour traffic, it's all of those things that you really need to think about. Operating hours. Do the center's operating hours align with your work schedule? We found the most beautiful center that I really loved, but they didn't open until 8:30. And I was like, whoa, that is not going to work for myself or my partner. We actually just can't do that. Still blows my mind that it opens so late, but I had to give that one a miss. Review their cost and policies. Understand the fees. I've heard rumors from friends that some daycares ask for like a bond and that bond can be unbelievably expensive. Ask questions around how you get it back, when it needs to be paid, what it goes towards. Also, make sure that you're understanding the center's fees in terms of late fees. What happens if you're late? Do you get charged $20 a minute? Like, what are their processes around that? I would also make sure you fully understand the subsidy when it comes to fees. So the subsidy as it stands at the moment is for 100 hours per week. If you're planning to send your child to daycare 5 days a week for a full day and your daycare is open 12 hours a day, that will mean that 2 times 5 is 10. That is 10 hours of care each week that is completely out of pocket. And let's just say those 10 hours are charged at $20 an hour. That's $200 out of pocket after tax each week alongside whatever your subsidy is. So it really is something that you should be mindful of. Observe social and educational opportunities. Look at how children interact with staff and other kids in the center. For me, this is the most important thing. This is number one. If someone is crying, are staff attending to that child? Are staff cleaning? Are they on the same level as children when they're playing and not kind of towering above them? Do the children look happy? Are they cuddling the kids? Like, is it a warm environment? Those things personally, I find number one. Like, if I'm away from my child, curriculum aside, I know that's obviously very important, I want to make sure that my child feels loved, supported, and safe, because that's what I give them at home. So I want them to have that outside. I mean, let's be real, I'm not doing number charts and timetables at home anyway, so I'm not expecting that of educators. All right, next up, finding a reliable nanny or babysitter. Number one, start with recommendations. Recommendations are gold. They are key. They're usually from trusted sources who have had positive experience. And these trusted sources most likely are your friends or friends of friends. Alternatively, use reputable agencies. There are loads of Facebook groups, and I know these aren't agencies, within the area that you can go onto and request a babysitter. What you will need to do with Facebook groups like these is you will probably get quite a number of applicants. You will then need to Zoom them, meet them, talk to them on the phone, then meet them in person. It can be quite a prolonged process. The benefit of going through an agency is, like, yes, it can be more expensive to begin with, but at least you know that they've done all the security checks and they've been through that process for you. So technically, that is one less piece of work that you have to do. When you meet a nanny or a babysitter, ask about their experience. Ask about their childcare philosophy. What do they believe is good for children? Do they believe in play? Do they believe in reading? Like, what are some of the activities they love to do with kids? Ask about their availability. And a big one, how do they handle emergencies? So if something were to happen, what would they do? Discuss your expectations. So clearly outline your needs, your schedules, any specific requirements. And then from there, this is a step that is often overlooked, which I find so strange, is verify their experience and reliability. Ensure that they have a clean working with children record. Depending on the level of care that's required, this may mean that you would like a criminal check provided, so a police check, or you would like appropriate certifications shown. Even if you are getting your 16-year-old neighbor from down the street to help you out a couple of days a week, I don't think it hurts to chat to their parents about, oh, how are they with kids? Like, have they babysat before? So start with a trial period. Observe how they interact with your child and adapt to your routines before committing long-term. You do not have to commit to a month's worth of work in advance. Start with a day, see how you feel about that person, and then go from there. Number three, family or friends. Set the tone early. Speak to your family and friends about what you're looking for and what the nature of it is, how it'll look. For example, my dad is in a position where he's available on a Friday. I asked straight up, can you commit to most Fridays looking after Sienna from 8 a.m. till 5:30 p.m? Are you comfortable making her lunch, getting her food, or would you prefer me to do it? If you can't make it and you're away for a holiday or travel or whatever, I am happy for you to do that. I want you to enjoy your life, but can you give me like 2 weeks heads up just so that I can get her into daycare for another day? In my experience, consistency is key. So it is far more stressful to arrange alternative care if someone constantly bails. If you have a family member or a friend that cannot commit to a consistent schedule, you are better off getting them to help with the kids maybe on a Saturday or a Sunday or a public holiday or something to give yourself some solo time to do whatever it is that you'd like to do sans children, as opposed to having them in a permanent care position. It is way too stressful when you go back to work. Au pairs. There are numerous au pair agencies. There is also an Au Pair Melbourne Facebook group where you go in, you talk about your family, and then you essentially go through an interview process of meeting an au pair. I haven't had any experience with that. The people that I know that have had au pairs have a house big enough to house them, and it doesn't feel like you're living on top of each other. Sadly, in my house, we would probably all be bunking in the one room, which is not ideal for anybody, but I've heard nothing but positive things. I will say, when it comes to care, care.com is an excellent website for finding a babysitter. Local community Facebook groups are also good. I'd always recommend meeting the person a few times. Yes, you do have to pay for their time and just seeing how they interact with your child / asking for a reference. I would also say there is nothing wrong with an old school letterbox drop along streets around your area to find families that would be happy to babysit for you. Location is key. The great thing is, if you can find a student or a older school-aged kid from a family in the street, it means that you can call upon them last minute because most likely they're home. So it is one less thing to worry about. When it comes to care, what has worked best for our family is a combination of practically everything. Daycare is great, but it is expensive. My family is incredible, but they also take trips, which they are entitled to do. So cannot make all Tuesdays or all Fridays, which means I supplement that with a babysitter, which is also great because if one of my children is sick and I have a really important work meeting, yes, I'm double dipping and double paying, which bloody sucks, but it means that I'm not missing anything, which for me is almost more important. So I would definitely recommend it looking at all avenues of care, costing them out and working out financially what is best for your family, structurally what is best for your family, and also from a backup perspective, what is going to work in cases where you really need help. Like perhaps it's worth having a babysitter that you use for a date night once every couple of months that you can call upon if you really need that person just in case, and any excuse for a date night, let's be real. Hopefully this has provided you with some overview of the different types of care, the pros and cons of each, and ways to go about engaging that care. And there are so many questions that have been submitted about childcare that I feel like I may need to do another short tits and tricks episode about breaking it all down when it comes to cost, sickness, how to navigate sickness, what on earth to do with public holidays and school holidays. I hope that I've provided you with a clear overview of the different types of childcare options and the pros and cons of each, and also how to choose what may work best for you. Our guide around Childcare 101 is so extensive. It is so easy to follow. Everything has a section. You can flick to it if you have any further questions about childcare, particularly when it comes to understanding the subsidy, navigating sickness, specific questions of what to ask, all of those things. Please head to readyornot.au and look at our guide. There is a free sampler if you want to get a taste for what it is all about. Otherwise, the one thing that I would always say when it comes to childcare is trust your gut. Your vibe is always right for your child.